We're holding on test some of days, nine lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, Komatz b'smol b'cholo, that if the Kohen takes the Komatz with his left hand, then it's possible. We had Ben Beseda saying that he could put it back and do it with the right hand. We discussed Ben Beseda's opinion a couple of blocks ago, but let's focus on the point that the Tanakh, that all of them agree that it's possible if it was done with the left hand. All it is Ben Beseda says you can undo it, and the Chachamim say you can't. So, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from, that Knitsa Dafka has to be done with the right hand? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zeira, D'Amakra, we find in the Pasuk, when it talks about the eighth day of the Miluim, it describes how Aaron was offering all the korbanos for the first time, and the Pasuk says, Vayakri v'sam mincha, he offered the mincha, which was, you had the various korbanos that were brought on that day, and among them was a korban mincha, Vayimale chapoin imena, and he filled up his hand from it, which means that he did klitza. Now, kafzeh eni adeh mahu. Now, you wouldn't know from the pasuk which hand he used. He used his hand, but which one? True Omer, but we have the same expression, kaf, in connection with the korbanos of a mitzorah. Now, when it comes to a mitzorah, the Torah tells us that he has to bring three korbanos. If he's rich, then he brings three animals, and if he's poor, then two of them are birds, and the third one is an animal, because the third one is an osham, and there's no such thing as an osham of a bird. And the pasuk actually goes and repeats, blow by blow, when it comes to the poor mitzorah, the exact, almost exactly the same, with slight variations, as we're going to see in our sugya, with all the rules that he has to, all the rules of what's done with the osham, that the kohen has to shech the osham and apply the blood to his ear, thumb, and toe, and that then he takes the oil and applies it to his ear, thumb, toe, and head, and so on and so forth. So all the details that it says by a rich mitzorah, the Torah repeats a few psukim later by the poor mitzorah. So now in our sugya, we're going to go through why those repetitions are necessary, and we're going to douse in various things from them. So now, when it says the first time about the mitzvah, it says, V'lotach ha-koyin mi-loig ha-shemen, the koyin should take from the loig of oil, the yotzak ha-kaf ha-koyin ha-smolis, and pour it into the koyin's left hand. In other words, what he does is he pours it into his own left hand, and then afterwards he takes his right finger and his right index finger and dips it in and sprinkles the oil and then applies it, etc. So now the pasuk says, kaf ha-koyin ha-smolis, meaning can smolis. Only over here is the pasuk referring to the left hand. From which we learn that every other place in the Torah where it says kaf without specifying, then it means specifically the right hand, and therefore we can derive from that that when it says that Aaron did kmitza with his hand, it means dafka his right hand. Karen Oda points out, I mean, as a practical matter, wouldn't he have to put it in his left hand anyhow, simply because he has to sprinkle it with his right hand? And the answer is, if it weren't for the pasuk telling us, kafa koin asmolis, you would have said you have to have another koin involved. He'll pour it into another koin's right hand, and then he'll dip his own right index finger in and start sprinkling and applying and everything. So note, the Torah says he pours it into his own left hand, but because it says smolis there, then it means that every other place where it says kaf, then it means after the right hand. Don't you need that legufay just to tell us exactly that he puts it in his left hand and not in his right hand? And the answer is smaller sacrinus, because the pasuk in that context says again his left hand. We haven't even gotten to the repetition of the whole passage as far as the mitzvah oni. Right now we're within just the rich mitzvah, the first time where it says. It says he should take from the oil and pour on his left hand, and then the next pasuk says he should dip his right finger into the oil that is on his left hand and sprinkle it. So therefore, so right there, back to back, you have twice where it mentions that the oil is in his left hand. So therefore, so one of them we can use the gufa to tell us that he should pour it into his right hand, into his left hand, and the other one to tell us that anywhere else where it says kaf or kafoi means zapka his right hand. Well, the Gemara asks, in that case, then, maybe on the contrary, maybe when the Torah is telling us twice smallest, then it means we have a rule that we use sometimes, that when there's a miut followed by another miut, when the Torah is excluding something and then again excluding something, then it actually comes to add something. So therefore, maybe sakir, maybe it means that it would be kosher to put it in his right hand, and therefore we can't derive from that always kaf necessarily means the right hand unless otherwise specified. So why don't we say that? Tosfos brings up a point over here that, which is in general, we have a question whenever the Gemara says in miyuta hamiyuta lo rabbis, then why say both miyutim in the first place? Just don't say anything. So Tosfos asks that over here. Tosfos asks the same question in a couple of other places in Shas. In one place where Tosfos brings up the question, they give an answer, which is that if it Shituch Chavetz brings approximately the same thing over here, that if it weren't for the two miyotim, you could say, you know, we would have some other limud, we could find some other limud in the psukim and say that we're mayin something. But now that it says a miyot achamiyot, then it means that no, don't think to use any other miyot. It has to be dafka the rabbis because the pasuk itself is writing two miyotim, and therefore, in effect, the first one tells us to take away something, and the second one, on the contrary, cancels that out and tells us to add something. But if it hadn't been for them at all, we might have used some other limud to say there's a miyot. This is similar point that Tosfos makes elsewhere about some other of the midas shatur and adreshes for him. For example, we have klal of prat, where we say that it means that if this klal is limited only to the prat or klal, we limit only to the prat, then why just say it at all? Why not just say the klal? And the answer is similar. Otherwise, we might have used a binyanab or some other limud to include or exclude more things, and therefore having the prat of klal or the klal of prat tells us don't do that. The same way over here, the ein miyut hamiyut tells us don't try to be mamayat anything because l'rabos. So again, now the question is, maybe that's what the two smallnesses are for, to tell us that it can be in the left hand or it can be in the right hand, and therefore we don't have any source to say that kaf elsewhere means after the right hand. And the answer is smallest achrinitzin. It says yet again smallest when it comes to the korbanos of a poor person, where it repeats the whole passage. Where there also it says that he should pour the oil into his left hand. So now you certainly don't need three miyotin. So therefore, we're not going to say in miyot achamiyot. We're going to say that it actually means kan smallest, that only in this context, when it says kaf smallest, doesn't mean the left hand, the ain achas smallest, but in no other place where it says kaf, then would we say that it means the left, dafka means the right, and therefore going back to when Aaron took the koimetz, it means it was dafka with his right hand. So the Gemara asks, at the Ema, on the contrary, we should argue Agraba. Maybe on the contrary, the third smallest comes to tell us, Ma kan smallest, at the Alma Nami smallest. Maybe on the contrary, we should use this as a binyan ad and say that since over here it specifies kaf as smallest, then it means the definition of kaf everywhere else is dafka the left hand. And the answer is Abba smallest, excuse me. It actually says four times smallest, Treba Oni or Treba Osher. Twice with the Oni, twice with the Osher. It's the other way around in the passage. The Osher comes first, but whatever. The point is that so we have four of them in the psukim, two times back to back by the usher, and then again two times back to back a few psukim later by the ani. So now, therefore, so one of them is gufoy to tell us that he needs to pour the oil into his left hand. The second one tells us that the other ones are not miyut achamiyut. And another one comes to tell us that you shouldn't think to make a binyanab, like we just said, here a kaf means the left hand, and therefore everything else should mean the left hand. So no, in fact, it's on the contrary. You have two psukim that are teaching us the exact same thing. And as we know, in many places in Shas, when you have shnei ksuma boim kafad, two psukim that teach us the exact same thing, then in Milan, then we don't learn from it from anywhere else. That's all one explanation in Rashi. Then Rashi gives another explanation. What it is like this. When it comes to the poor person, you know, there are variations in his korban, after all. Instead of bringing two animals for his ola and his katas, instead he's bringing two birds for those. So you might have thought that maybe there were other variations in his korban as well. Maybe by the rich mitzvah, is the oil poured into the kohen's left hand. Maybe when it comes to an oni, it has to be different, and it has to be poured into his right hand, and then sprinkled with his left hand, or sprinkled with a different kohen's right hand, or whatever. So therefore, according to that, then, you would need both of them, two of them are needle goof. One by the oni and one by the osher. And the other one tells us that it's only that smallest only over here, and therefore it's shnei ksuma boim kafad. However, Rashi then continues and says, I don't really like either of those explanations. Both of those require us to say that shnei ksuma boim kafad means that when we have extra times smallest over here in connection with the mitzvah, then it becomes shnei ksuma boim kafad. Rashi points out throughout Shas, that's not what shnei ksuma boim kafad means. Shneksim Avoyim Ka'achod means when you have two different mitzvahs where the Torah tells us the same concept by both of them, then we learn, then we say it means it's exclusive to both of those and we don't learn it anywhere else. On the contrary, to have something over here, extra times when the pasuk repeats something, is not called Shneksim Avoyim Ka'achod, it's called extra psukim, period. So Rashi rather gives a third explanation. Precisely because it says so many times extra, then it means that it's only over here is its smallest and nowhere else. Otherwise, if it was a matter of learning from here to everywhere else, then we don't need so many extra. Fine, we can have one extra, and we could say in Lazeth, since we don't need it for here because we were learning it over here, Tanei in La'acha, then apply it to someplace else. But we certainly don't need so many extra. So now what we can say is we have one tells us the Gufoy, one tells us that it means that everywhere else half means the right hand, and only here does it mean the left, and the third tells us that it's Ein Miut Achamir. And that would have been enough. The fact that we have a fourth one tells us that we're not going to learn from it to anywhere else. So that's Rashi's third and preferred explanation is why we have all four times that it says. And therefore, ultimately, we're saying that therefore the definition of calf is in fact unspecified, is in fact the right one, and only when it's the smallest does it mean the left one, and we cannot derive from that to any other place in the Torah. Not because Shnei Ksumah Bar and Kaf, but because there'd be no reason to have so many extras. So that's what it is, and therefore we can indeed learn from that when it says that Aaron took the mincha with his calf, then it means specifically his right hand. Okay. So now the Gemara continues on this topic of the mitzvah. According to Rashi, this next part that we're going to discuss over here about the mitzvah is not really. Is only incidental. Once we're talking about Daushin and Psukim from the Mitzvah, then the Gemara goes on to Daushin other Psukim about it. But not really that's directly connected with what we were saying before to establish that Takoi means his right hand. That's a point of Rashi. We'll talk about later. We'll talk about it soon. According to Tosfos, how they learn the Sugya differently. So the Gemara says, Omele Rav Yumia Rav Zera. So now Rav Yumia asks Rav Zera. Let's understand more repetition that talks about the Mitzvah. Again, by the Mitzvah, you have two whole sections, one about the Mitzvah Oni, one about the Mitzvah Oskel, one about the Mitzvah Oni, and in each one of them you have a number of things that are said more than once, like this business about the left hand. So let's figure out with other repetitions over there why we have them. So, al boyan yodei haimonis, al boyan ragli haimonis, tiftid b'shemen de mitzvah, osher. So now let's start with when the Torah says that the Kohen places the oil on the mitzvah's right thumb, at his right big toe, and it says that in connection with the mitzvah osher. So the word osher doesn't belong. The phrase b'shemen de mitzvah osher is in parenthesis in the Gemara. Tosfos actually, based on their explanation later on, actually takes it all out. According to Rashi's explanation, it would belong. However, the question would not be about the osher. The question would actually be about the oni. Or the question might be about both of them. Why did Bacal does it have to say that he has to place it on his right thumb and his right toe and his right big toe? The question is, Loma Li, what do we need it for? Tosfos spells out explicitly that the question is on both times that it says, by the Osher and by the Oni. The point of the question is, because the pasuk already says that it has to be placed on the place of the blood of the Osham. Now on top of the blood of the Osham. Now when it comes to the blood of the Osham, the Torah spells out where it's placed, ear, thumb, and toe. So it shouldn't need to say it again by the oil. Once it says that it's going to be on those same places, then there's no reason to repeat the actual names of places. So here also the words Darkosaval Dama Osham are also in parenthesis. Shitim Kubetza says that actually is part of Rashi's explanation and got mistakenly put into the Gemara. Tosfos then understands the question differently and says that the question is once it said, why does it say, So the question is, why does it say that that once it says al dam ha'osham and mekayim dam ha'osham, then there's no need to mention the specific body parts again, because we already know from the blood of the osham that that it's supposed to be placed there. Tosfos also points out, now the first place he puts the blood and later on the oil is on the tnuch oizen, on some part of the ear. There's different understanding of what tnuch means, whether it means the cartilage, whether it means the top of the ear, etc. But anyway, the point is, why doesn't the Gemara mention that? So Tosfos says, because we were talking about the calf, the hand of the Mitzvah, the hand of the Kohen, rather, in connection with the Mitzvah, so therefore, he continues asking when it mentions about the thumbs, which are also part of the hand. But you're right, it could have asked about the ear as well. So the question is again, why does it need to say that he needs to place the oil on the thumb and on the toe when it already said that he has to place them where the blood of the Osham was, and it already said that those body parts, so why do we need to repeat it? So the answer is one of them comes to tell us that it's kosher if he puts it on the sides of the thumb. Because when the pasuk says al doesn't have to mean on, it can mean nearby. Rashi refers to later in the Masechta when we talk about the lachem aponim, we're going to discuss that the word al can mean near. So now, in other words, the proper way of doing it is that the Kohen is supposed to apply the blood and later on the oil to the outside of the thumb, the side of the thumb with the fingernail. But now, let's say he puts it on the sides of the thumb, that would also be kosher. V'chad lifsot tzidit tzgadim, on the other hand, then it again says, al dama osham, or al makoyim dama osham, it says the second time, lifsot tzidit tzgadim, that comes to tell us that the sides of the sides are kosher, meaning on the other side of the thumb. So it's kosher, so the chassidim should put it on the nail side of the thumb. But the other, he put it on the sides, on one side or the other of the thumb, it's kosher. But if he puts it on the back, if he puts it on the other side of the thumb, the palm side, then it would be kosher. That's how Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Gershom says differently that tzadin means he's supposed to put it on the skin around the fingernail. Tzidei tzadin would be the skin under the fingernail, the pashtus, in other words, like if a person's fingernails have grown long and you have space between them, and they have space between the nail and the end of the finger, then Rabbeinu Gershom seems to be learning that's what tzidei tzadin would mean, that it would be possible. Okay, so that explains why it says twice that you have to place the blood, that's why it says al, so it's not al dama osham, sorry, the fact that it says al tznuch, al boyin yodeh haymonis means with both of them it has to be at most on the studin, but not on the back or on the bottom there. Because it actually points out al means not tachas, not underneath. Okay, here's another question about the repetition. Al dam ha'osham on the coin dam ha'osham lai osu. What about when the Torah says that you have to place the oil on top of the blood of the Osham, and later on by the poor person, it says, I'm a coin down the Osham, on the place where the blood of the Osham was placed. So why do we need both of them? And it should be able to say one, and Rashi's Girsa is not the my Osham, for what do they come, but rather Lama Li, why do we need both of them? It should say by one of them, and we should be able to derive the other one from A. According to Tosfos, rather the Girsa is indeed Lamai Osu, as we have it in the Gemara, and the question is, it should say the same thing in both places, say Al Dama Osham in both, or Al Makoyim Dama Osham in both. And the answer is Tzrichi, the answer is Hani Tzrichi. The answer is we do actually need both of them. The Ikos of Rahmana Al Dama Osham, if the Torah had written only the words Al Dama Osham, have a minute, you say, hey, Niskaneach Lo, then you would think you can put the oil over there only if the blood is still there. What if it's gotten wiped off in between? Then maybe you can't put the oil on. Kos Rahmana Al Makoyim, therefore the process is on the place. On the place where the blood was placed, we don't care whether the blood is still located there right now. The Ikos of Rahmana Al Makoyim, but if it only said Al Makoyim without saying Al dama osham, have amina. Then you would say davkin is kameach. On the contrary, maybe you should wipe it off first, because otherwise it's a chatzitza. Avot isay, if the blood is still there, ema have a chatzitza. You would think maybe it constitutes a chatzitza. Hamashmon al dama osham. Therefore, the pasuk says al dama osham. There's nothing wrong with putting it on top of the blood. So either way, you have to put it in the same places. But whether the blood is still there or whether it's not, it's still equally good either. Okay. So now the Gemara says, fine. So now we understand why it repeats the point about the thumb and toe, but in both places, by the oni and by the osher, and why it repeats al dama osham and al makoyim dama osham by the two of them. What about Omar Rava? So now Rava, but Rava asks on that. But all of this was premised on what Reb Zera had, Reb Yirmiyah was asking Reb Zera, that Reb Zera had said, when it says Vayimalech Chapa Yimena, it says by the Mincha that he did Kmitza with his calf, and he said, we're learning from the Masorah that calf means that for the right hand. But Omar Rava, but Rava says, is that how you darshan the psukim? Me'achod dechtiv al dama osham va'al makoyim dama osham. Once the pasuk says that you have to place it on the blood of the osham or on the place of the blood of the osham, and that means that it can be placed either on top of the blood or without that, then the question is, uchtivu yimonis v'dam. Now, when it comes to blood, it already says that it has to be the right, that it has to be the right ear and the right thumb and so forth. So now we have to ask, al boyan yodeh hayimonis, al boyan ragla hayimonis. Then why would it need to say that? Why would it need to say Hayimonis by the rich mitzora or by the poor mitzora? What are we doing with that? What are we doing with that word Hayimonis by both of them? So we can't say that we're learning from. We can't say that we're learning from these psukim, from these repetitions, and one of those repetitions teaches us the concept that. That wherever it says calf, unspecified, it means the right, because in that case, then you're left with a word, yamonis, which is repeated by the Mitzvah, and you're not finding anything to do, and you're not finding anything to do with it. Now, before we get to Rava's answer, Tosfos of Idiot points out a bunch of questions on Rashi's explanation so far. So again, Rashi's explanation has been basically, Reb Zera gave his drosha on the word calf, where it says calf by Aaron, and it says calf by smallest by the Mitzvah, and therefore we understand therefore that calf means that for the right, and we went through why it needs to say calf by smallest four times by the Mitzvah, two by the Osher and two by the Oni, and ultimately that's where we learn it from. Then Reb Yirmiyah had come in with a side question. Well, then what about all these repetitions? How are we explaining them? And the answer ultimately was, and we found something to do with all of them. But now Rava would be going back to the original point of Reb Zera. If you're going to darshan from Kafa Smolis, then what are you going to do with the word Yimonis that it says again and again? Tosfos has a bunch of questions on Rashi's explanation. Among other things, that then the flow of the Gemara doesn't really go. Why indeed is Reb Yirmiyah's question coming in the middle? It comes out according to Rashi's explanation. Reb Yirmiyah is just asking Reb Zera a side thing that has really nothing to do with the flow of the sugya. And why doesn't Reb Yirmiyah mention the earlobe? Fine, as Tosfos said before, he wants to go from talking about the calf to talking about the thumb, but at least he should mention the earlobe at some point and say why it has to repeat it twice. And a bunch of other questions. So no, Tosfos explains like this. It is all connected. Reb Zera had said that you learn from kafoi, that it means that the word calf means the right hand. Well, then in that case, then why by the thumb does it need to say by the thumb, which is even part of the hand? Why does it need to say yamin? So the question is not so much why it needs to mention the thumb at all, but why does it need to mention the right thumb? And the answer is that it does need to use the word yamonis, the right thumb, by both the osher and the oni. But we can learn from that because it has extra words over there. Therefore, we can doubt in one of those extra words. So both of them are unnecessary because we already know that they're part of the, that it has to be the right hand. So therefore, one of them we can use to say that it means that the tzedadin are allowed, and the other one would be that the tzedek tzedadin, the back of the thumb is not allowed. Is not allowed for applying the blood or the oil. Then Robert comes in with the question. Well, if it says that I have to put it on the blood of the osher, and it says yumonis already by the osher, then why does it again need to say it by the oil of? Anyway, it says yumonis by the blood in the case of the mitzvah osher, and then it says that the oil goes on top of that. Then why does it need to say yumonis by the onion? So according to that, then the flow of the Gemara is in fact That Reb Yumi's question is directly related to Reb Zeira's drasha. Reb Zeira had given his drasha on the word calf, but then the question is, then why does it need to say dafra? So that explains, among other things, why he didn't mention the earlobe. Fine, you could say by the earlobe, by the ear, it needs to mention Yumanis, which is fine. The ear is a different part of the body than the hand. But when it comes to the hand, when it comes to the thumb, which is part of the hand, why does it need to say Yumanis? And Reb Zeira is explaining why it does, but then Rava says the fact is, it says so many times Yumanis, and at least some of them don't seem to be necessary for your drasha. So what are you doing with those? Ella, Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says, no, here's how we doushin that Kmitza has to be done with the right hand. Because Yod L'Kmitza. We have a Zeira Shava on the word Yod. So you do have the word Vayimalech Chapoy. We said that he filled up his hand with the mincha. Or Yimalech Yodeh is a different girsa that he fills his hand to do the avodah. And here by the Mitzorah, it says Yodeh Hayimonis, his right hand. So we learn from that it means just like with the Mitzvah, Yad means the right hand, the same way by Kmitza, it means the right hand. So we learn the word Yad, Xeder Shava. So in other words, Rava is going to say that the fact that it says three body parts by the Mitzvah, by the thumb, by the big toe, and by the ear, each one of them is going to be used for one end of a Xeder Shava to teach us about a different din in the Torah that uses that same body part that it has to be the right one. So like this, Yod L'Kmitza, the word Yod that it says by the Mitzvah, which it says, and it specifies as right hand, from that we learn, Zera Shavav to that, to Kmitza, that it had, where it also says the word Yad, or Kaf, if they actually said the palm, but nevertheless, it's basically the same thing, and therefore we make Zera Shavav from it, and we learn from that, that it has to be done dafka with the right hand. Tosfos does point out later on in the third parak that don't we have a rule sometimes that we don't learn between one time korbanos and other times. We're going to learn later on daf yud tes that Shmuel says you can't do that. Reb Zeira obviously doesn't agree with that, or Rava doesn't agree with that. He holds that you could learn this one-time korban from that you can learn to korbanos in future generations. Anyway, so Rava says that's for that Zeira Shava. Regel l'chalitza. When it says over here raglay hayimonis, his right foot, then we learn from that Zeira Shava to chalitza, where the shoe has to be taken off the foot, that has to be adapted to the right foot. And oizen, when it says over here the tznuch of his ear. And it says his right ear, then we can learn from that. For Ritzia, when at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, when the Eved Ivri wants to stay on beyond 6 years, and the master pierces his ear, so it has to be dafka the right ear, we learn from this Zeira Shava. So Rava says that we're learning that Kmitza is done with the right is not exactly from where Reb Zeira says, because it's Kapaya Smolis, but rather was by the Kohen, but rather because it's Yodei Hayimonis by the Mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, in that case, Smolis is the only Lamai also. Okay, then what about the fact that it's a Smolis by the poor Mitzvah? What does it come for? And actually, the word Da'oni doesn't belong actually, because the question is again about both the Oni and the Osher. So what does it come for? Tosfos in fact says that the first one, so it's really asking about the second time it says smallest by the Osher. The first one, again, we need Lugufo to tell us that he needs to pour the oil into his left hand. But what do we need the second smallest for? And it can't be a miut acha miut, because then it would just say once. So the first one that's asking over here is actually about the one from the Osher. So what is it coming for? It comes to tell us that it's possible for the Kohen to pour the oil into his right hand to apply it to the Mitzvah. Now, why do you need a posse for that? You shouldn't think when it comes to all other avodas where the left hand is not being included. You cannot do avoda with the left hand. But the yamin, the right hand, is included. As we're going to say, as we're going to learn in the Gemara soon, whenever it says in general all avodas have to be done with the right hand. So where the Torah says that, so where the Torah does not say anything about the left, then we know you can do it with the right. But the mokum shin is srabsa slow. You would think kavachomer where the Torah does tell us you can use the left hand and a din shin is srabsa yamin. You would think how much more so kavachomer that the yamin is included all the more so, and therefore that it should be fine whether the kohen pours the oil for the mitzvah into his left hand or his right hand. Therefore the Torah again says smallest, and it means the dafka has to be in his left hand. So, Rashi points out, you're not going to stay over here. That's a miut acha miut, because the first one is not a miut. We have the zera shava, that we use the word yad to tell us kmitzah. Then you would think that also you could use the zera shava of calf and also use it to teach us the right. So it means that you can use the left, but then it would mean, then it still might mean the right. So if we have another smallest to tell us no, in this case, it doesn't mean the right or the left, it means that to the left. So that's what we're learning from the word smallest. Okay, the idach smallest. What about the fact that it says again smallest? Where again altogether it says four times, and as Tosfos points out here, it's focusing primarily on the ones as far as the oni, because the ones for the osher we already dealt with, and also yad v'rego yamonis oni, and also the fact that it says the word that it again mentions the right hand and the right foot of the mitzvah, of the four mitzvah, lamai also, what drasha are those coming for? And the answer is those don't necessarily need to be for a drasha. Look at the tonnet, the Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, it's like what we learn in a braisa from the Shiva of Rabbi Shmuel, called parasha, shenemer batorah, v'nishnis, shenemer v'nishnis. Whenever a parasha is said and then repeated again, lo nishnis ela b'tfil davash, in a schadish bar, it's repeated only because of some new feature, some new drasha or limud that we learn over there, but the rest of it will be repeated, even though it's not necessary. So that's how it'll be over here. The Torah needs to repeat the part about the Oni because there are new features in it that you don't have by the altar. First of all, of course, you have the practical fact that it has different korbanos, that is two birds and one animal instead of three animals. But besides that, we have various other things that we're dowshing from one of the repetitions by the Oni and by the Osher. So once we do that, the fact that there are more repetitions of various details is not a big problem, because that's the Torah's style, is to repeat an entire section, add something new with it, and still the whole rest of it is repeated, just because that's the context in which it comes. So according to Rava, most of the repetitions between the Osher and the Oni were in fact not Darshanin. Many of them are just because that's the style of the Torah, but we have some of them that we Darshan, and we don't really have any of them that we Darshan, we're saying. Rather, the fact that the Oni had to be told, because you have the feature, the new features of his Korban, namely where it has two birds and an animal instead of three animals, that justifies repeating all the other details, even though they're not necessary. One thing we do have, which Rabba Bapashtus doesn't disagree with, is we said before that when it says Al Dam Ha'ot, the author, and Al Makoyim Dam Ha'osham, by the Oni, it comes to tell us that whether the blood is there, whether it's not,
less than 2.5.
That whether the blood is there or whether it's not, then you can still place the oil over there. So now that we talked about kmitza being with the right hand, and discussed the different opinions of how we understand how a daf has to be done with the right, let's talk more generally about avodas being done with the right. The Gemara says, Omer Rabba Babachana, Omer Rabba Shimon Lakish, Kol Mokam Shenemer Etzva Ukohuna. We learned this in Zvachim as well. Any time when the Torah says that something has to be done with the finger, and that it has to done by a kohen, eina eliyamin, then it means a dafka has to be done with the right hand, and it would be possible with the left. So the Gemara says kasapadat etzbo kohuna b'inim. The way the Shlokish is phrasing it makes it sound like, and this is how the Chachamim assumed to begin with, that it means that it need, in order for it to have to be done with the right hand, it has to say both etzba and kohuna. As it says, the kohen should take from the blood of the chatas with his finger and daub it on the mizbeach, and we would say the gomam in mitzora, and in that case, then we would learn it by zera shava from mitzora, or by binyan av from mitzora, just to the tovah kohen esvoy hayimonis, where it says the kohen should dip in with his right finger, and then he should sprinkle with his right finger. So only where it says both etzba and koyin, only then would we say that it has to be the right. But anything else, it could be the left. Well, the question is, harei k'mitzah. Well, what about k'mitzah? V'lo k'tiva ba'ela kahuna. It never says the word etzba in connection with k'mitzah. And in fact, we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem. K'mitzah is done with many fingers. So you can't just say etzba. You can't just say etzba. It only says koyin. V'komatz ha'koyin yimena. Utznan komatz v'smeil posel. And yet we learned in our Mishnah that k'mitzah with the left hand is posel. And even then, the Seder only held fine. You can put back the koyimitz and then take it again with the right hand. But everybody agrees it's posel with the left. Amar Rava, oy etzva, oy kohona. So Rava says, fine, it doesn't mean that it needs both of them. It means it's one or the other. As long as it says the word etzva, or it says the word kohen, then that means it has to be done with the right hand. So the Chok Nosan points out, actually, the Gemara could have given a very easy answer. We just had Rava saying a couple of minutes ago that when we have a Zera Shava on the word Yad, and from that we learn, Kmitza has to be done with the right hand. But that would explain Kmitza, it wouldn't explain various other Avodas, and therefore the Gemara wants to give the Gemara prefers to give the real reason, which is that either Kohuna, either the word Koyan, or the word Etzba is enough. Well, Omalei Abaya, Harei Halacha Sevarim LaKevet. In that case, what about the carrying the limbs of the Oila to the ramp of the Mizbach? The Mishnah describes in the Sefer Tamid the Seder of how they would after they shechted the Korban Tamid, they would skin it and cut it up, as it says in the Torah, and then you'd have a bunch of different Kohanim that are carrying the pieces of it to the Mizbeach. What they would do is actually we'll learn in the Sefer Tamid in a year and some, Bez Hashem, we'll learn that they would bring them to the kevesh, they would salt them over there, they'd leave them in the salt for a while, then they would go off to the Lishkas HaGozis to daven and to say certain parts of tefillah. In particular, they want to ask Hashem that their korbanos should be accepted on behalf of the whole Jewish people. And then later on, other kohenim would go and bring the limbs one by one from the kevesh, from the ramp, up to the top of the mizbeach and throw them into the fire. So that, the carrying them to the kevesh, is d'chtibuhu kohuna, where the pasuk does mention the word kohuna, the word koyin, in that context. D'chtib v'hikriv ha-koyin es ha-koyin ha-mizbecha, as the pasuk says, the koyin should offer everything to the mizbeach, and that means, we learned in Zvachim that word v'hikriv means to walk them over to the kevesh. That was where we learned the whole concept of halacha being an avodah. There it was talking about halacha of blood, but still, we also learn from it that the halacha of the limbs is also considered an avodah. There was an earlier pasuk that said v'hikriv that they should offer, and that was referring to the blood. But then we learn halacha of blood. But here we're talking about where it says v'hikriv akoyin, it's akoyel v'hikdin amizbeicha. You should bring everything close and offer it on the mizbeach. That refers to the evarim. So it says kohuna over there. It says v'hikriv akoyin es akoyel amizbeicha. But omer ma'azur halacha sevarim lakevesh. We're saying that refers to halacha, to carrying the limbs to the kevesh. And yet utnan. But in the Sefer Tamid, when we go through the seder over there of how they would do it, it describes that the first kohen, and you have six kohenim that are bringing the pieces of the korban to the ramp of the mizbeach, and the first one was holding the head and the right leg, and it describes how regular, so he would hold the head of the animal in his right hand, and arm, and then how regular she min the smile, the right front leg of the right back leg of the animal would be in his left hand, the side on which the skin was would be on the outside, because you have this one side of the leg that had only skin, that had the skin, which they've since stripped off, and then you have the other side where it was attached to the body, but that part is bloody and it's not as nice, so therefore he would keep that side on the inside facing towards him, and have the side that used to have the skin on it facing towards the outside, which looks nicer. The point is, though, he would carry it in his left hand, and that's an avodah. So we see that an avodah can be done in the left hand, with the left hand, even though it says kahuna. And the answer is ki yamrin oy etzva oy kohuna. Fine, but when I'm saying that you that when I'm understanding the braisa to be to understanding Rish Lakish rather to be saying when it says etzva oy kohuna, that means one or the other. That means only bedavam akav kapara. That would only apply to something which without it the kapara will not be accomplished. As we've learned over and over again in the Zochim, once the blood of the korban is applied to the mizbeach, then the korban is kosher. So the bringing the Avarim is not ma'akiv. Because even if you didn't offer the limbs, then the korban is nevertheless kosher. That was how Rashi explained it in Zvachim. Here Rashi explains differently. When it comes to, let's say, the sprinklings of a mitzvah, they have to be done. When it comes to halacha, it's possible, sure, they need to be brought up to the mizbeach and burned, but you don't necessarily need to actually walk it over to the kedesh. First of all, you can check right next to the kedesh and then not have to walk it over. Second of all, you can't shecht it over there because it has to be shechted in the north. But at least you could bring it over and skin it and cut it up next to the kebesh, and then no walking over to the kebesh is necessary. Or Rashi also points out, you could have one coin hand it to the other, which, as we learned in Zvachim, is not considered halacha unless they move their feet. So therefore, that's another way of understanding. It's not ma'akid, meaning it's possible to do the korban in such a way that it's not necessary to do that halacha at all. But again, the other way of understanding it, as it actually does in Zvachim, is that it means that the sprinkling by the mitzvah is essential. Without that, the mitzvah doesn't accomplish its kapara, whereas over here, the bruning of the limbs on the mizbeach is not ma'akid in the first place. If the blood was sprinkled, and then the evorim were unable to be brought to the mizbeach, for whatever reason, doesn't matter the korban, you're still yotze the korban. But Rava's rule is wherever it says etzva or Rava's understanding of Rish Lakish's rule is wherever it says etzva or kohuna and it's an avoda that's ma'akiv, then it needs to be done with the right hand. Okay, the Gemara asks about a Kabbalah. What about the Kabbalah Sadam? Dovra ma'akiv kaparahu. It's something that without it you don't have a kapara. You can't sprinkle the blood and you don't have a kapara. Uk v'kosev kohuna, and it even says kohuna. As the pasuk says, Bnei Aaron, the Kohenim shall offer the blood, and that means that Krivu means halacha zu kabbalah sadam. So that Krivu means kabbalah. Actually, we learned in Zvachim it means both the kabbalah and the halacha. So both of those, we learned those are among the essential avodas of a korban. In any case, it includes kabbalah, utnan, and we learned in Zvachim kibbal b'smoil posal. If he did the Kabbalah with his left hand, then it's possible. But Reb Shimon Machshir, but Reb Shimon says it's possible. So we see that Reb Shimon allows it with the left, even though it otherwise fits all your criteria, Rabbah. It is something that's ma'akiv. It says kahuna, but it doesn't say etzba. So if we say it requires etzba and kahuna, then fine. Reb Shimon would be saying it doesn't say etzba over here, therefore there's no problem doing the Kabbalah in the left. But you, Rabbah, are saying the rule is either etzba or kahuna, and it has to be ma'akiv. Well, then how do you explain Reb Shimon's opinion about Kabbalah? So Rav said, the Gemara answers, Reb Shimon Tamrit. You ask according to Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Tauti Boi. Reb Shimon's rule, Reb Shimon's understanding of the rule would be that it has to say both Etzba and Koryan. And with only one or the other, then it doesn't require the right. Therefore, he says, Kabbalah will be kosher with the left hand. But the Chachamim hold, and Rav is explaining according to the Chachamim, that it's one or the other is enough to say that it has to be done with the right. And therefore, indeed, is why the Chachamim say that Kabbalah is kosher with the left hand. So like Mara asked me, boy, Reb Shimon Tauti, are you telling me then that Reb Shimon actually requires both etzva and kohuna, both of those words, in order to say it has to be done with the right, and it's not a fossil? Well, Tanya, Reb Shimon himself says, kol makom shenemer yad, any time when the Torah says yad, eina ela yamin, then it means that to the right. Because again, we have the Zera Shavah that we talked about earlier on the Omer from Yadeh Hayamanis, Svavi Masora. Etzva ena ela yamin, and when it says etzva, it also means dafka the right index finger. So we see that he holds that just etzva itself is enough to mean the right. So what are you telling me he needs both? So fine, etzva like boya kohuna, kohuna boya etzva. Reb Shimon would say anytime it says etzva, we don't care whether it says koyan or not. So for example, by the korbanos of Yom Kippur. It just says that he dips in his finger and he does the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadosh and in the Kodesh and so forth. So there it never says, it doesn't say the word Koryan in that passage, but it says Etzba, and therefore Reb Shimon agrees it has to be done with the right. But when it says, so whether it says etzba, when it says etzba, we don't care whether it says koyin or not. But when it says koyin, Rav Shimon would say it's going to mean that it has to be done with the right, and it's possible otherwise only if it also says the word etzba. So therefore, we can correctly say that when it comes to Kabbalah, Rav Shimon will allow it with the left because it doesn't say etzba, it only says koyin. And according to, and now we're saying, Rav Shimon would say it's not enough that it says koyin, it has to say etzba in order for it to have to be done with the right. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Ela Koyin with Kabbalah Lomali. Well, then why does it say the word Koyin by the Kabbalah? If according to Rav Shimon, anyway, you're not using the word Koyin to teach us anything, according to him, only the word Etzva is significant. According to Rav Shimon, why do we even need the word Koyin at all? Not by the Karbonis of Yom Kippur. There, Taka doesn't say Koyin. What we mean is, when it talks about the Koyin dipping his finger in and daubing the blood of the Chatas on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, why does he need to say HaKoyin as they according to Rav Shimon? If anyway, we need only the word Etzva is going to teach us it's the right hand. And the answer is, B'kihunai. The answer is, Rav Shimon will say that it means he has to be wearing the big dick horn. Now, of course, the Chachamim agree with that, but there's a different drasha that Rabbi Akiva gives in the Zvachim, that you have a Zera Shava on the word B'nai Aaron. That's when it says B'nai Aaron, should wear the big dick horn. And then wherever it says B'nai Aaron, means they have to wear the big dick horn, and therefore the Chachamim can learn that. So Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold in that Zera Shava, is going to need to learn it from the word Hakoyin over here. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Bare zrika b'lechoser bei ela kohonim." Now, what about the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood of most korbanos? It doesn't say etzba over there, and in fact, he doesn't do it with the etzba. They take the bowl, and splash the blood against the mizbeach. B'lechoser bei ela kohonim. It only says the word hakoyinim. It doesn't say the word etzba at all. Utnan b'smol posel, and utnan zorach b'smol posel. Yet we learn in a Mishnah that if he sprinkled the blood with his left hand, then it's posel. V'loy polig Reb Shimon, and we don't find Reb Shimon disagreeing with that. Well, why not? If according to Reb Shimon, it has to say etzba, and even the word hakoyin is not enough to say that it has to be done with the right hand, then Reb Shimon should hold that if he did the zrika with his left hand, it should be kosher. Now Rashi points out, we had an on Mishnah also where it said that if he did the kmitza with the left hand, it's possible, and Rav Shimon didn't argue with that. So you could say, because by the mincha, he learns from a different pasuk, kodesh kodoshim hika hafas v'ha'ashem, the Gemara is going to mention later on. We're going to learn it further down on this Amud, and therefore Rav Shimon would agree that kmitza with the left hand is possible. But when it comes to Zvika, where you don't have that limud, then Rav Shimon would then why doesn't Rav Shimon disagree? And the answer is, I'm going to buy a polig rebraisa. It's true that Rav Shimon does not, that Rav Shimon does not disagree in the Mishnah, but he does disagree in a braisa. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, kibbol b'shmoyol posel, if he did the Kabbalah with his left hand, then it's posel, v'Reb Shimon makshir, but Reb Shimon says it's kosher, zorak b'shmoyol posel, and similarly if he did zrika with his left hand, then it's posel, v'Reb Shimon makshir, but again, Reb Shimon says it's kosher. Because, again, by doesn't say etzba. So therefore, so yes, Reb Shimon does, it's true, you never find a Mishnah with that, but nevertheless you do find a braisa where Reb Shimon disagrees, where Reb Shimon disagrees with that. However, Tosfos has a long discussion over here, the fact is, we should expect to find it in a Mishnah someplace. You can't just have a Braisa where, Tosfos's question is, where we said, Tnan, Zorach, the smell apostle, we said that if he does the Zrika with his left hand, it's apostle, there's no such Mishnah, says Tosfos. And Tosfos has a couple of other questions. Why don't we learn from the Hekesh of Zois HaTorah, where we learn many dinim, so therefore once a Chatas has to be done with the right hand, and even Reb Shimon agrees with that, and says Etzva, why don't we learn from it to other Korbanos? So Tosfos first brings a Girsa from Rabbeinu Tam, that the Girsa in our Gemara over here should not be asking about Zrika, but rather Malika. It should be Vare Malika, the Lekosav Elekona. By Malika, of a brewed Korban, it says only that the Koyan should do Malika, it never says the word Etzva. And so then you would have, then it is in fact a Mishnah that says a Mishnah had said that a Mishnah in that we learned in the Zvachim had mentioned various cases where Melita is possible, and one of them is where he did it with the left hand. Well, okay, so it doesn't say the actual words, Molach the smell possible, but fine, that's paraphrasing the Mishnah, and it's fine for the Gemara to do that. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this whole point in quite a bit of detail. Even with Zrika, we would say that Reb Shimon that Reb Shimon would hold you can't learn from a chassas to other korbanos. The Tosfos goes on and on and discusses various ins and outs of it, including Tosfos ends up giving a following the gusa that we have about Zrika, the like Sibba Be'el Kohona. For Zrika, it says only Kohona, and they're still saying that if Zrika was done with the left hand, then it's possible. So we would say if Kabbalah is possible with his left hand, how much more so with the Zrika? I mean, see, if Shimon is arguing only with Kabbalah, if he was arguing on the Zrika, then he should have said that he's Machshu, even by Zrika, how much more so by Kabbalah? And therefore, the Gemara answers that, in fact, in a Braisa, he does say exactly that point, and he does say that Zrika would also be kosher with the left hand. Okay. However, the Gemara says, the Ella Hodja Omar Rava Yod Yod Lekmitza Lamoi. So then the question is, on Omar Aleph, Rava had said that by Kmitza we have a special limud from the Gzeira Shava of the word Yod to tell us that, from the Mitzorah, to tell us that Kmitza has to be done with the right hand. Well, Lamoli, then what do we need it for? Mikahuna Nafka. According to Rava, we should be able to learn it just from the word Koyin. Because again, according to the Chachamim, as long as it says Koyin, it has to, as according to Rava's understanding of the rule, as long as it says Koyin, then you need the right hand. Well, it says that Kmitz has to be done by a Koyin. So it shouldn't need the Gzeira Shava. And the answer is fine. It means chav koymitz v'chav kiddush koymitz. One tells us the kmitza itself has to be done with the right hand. The other limud tells us that the koymitz, when it's placed into a kli shoris, which then that's necessary for the koymitz to get its full kiddusha of a koymitz, just like you have to do kabbalah sedam, the same in a keli, the same way you have to put the koymitz into a keli. So that also has to be done dafka with the right hand. So both of those things have to be done with the right hand. There's a brings that can also mean that the keli itself has to be held in the right hand. We talked about we learned from the Gemara a few days ago that you actually may need multiple koyanim involved. We said that it's kosher if it's done from a keli that's on the ground, but if it's being held, it would have to be held in the right hand. Fine. So we need both of those limudim. Okay, the question is, but Rav Shimon, Deloy Boy Kiddush Koymetz. Now, what about a point of Rav Shimon? He Bechlal doesn't require. We're going to learn in the third parak that he learns you don't even have to place the Koymetz in a Kli Shoris. He holds, you take the Koymetz, you can directly take it in your hand and bring it to the Mizbeach to burn it. So according to that opinion, then why do we need two Limudim? And also, Ulamanda Omanami, Deloy Kiddush Koymetz for Rav Shimon, and even according to the opinion of the Gemara over there, the Gemara has two opinions later on in the third parak of what Rav Shimon holds. Does Rav Shimon hold? The Mishnah says over there that if you do the koymetz not in a kli shoris, then it's possible, but Rav Shimon says it's kosher. So now there's two explanations in the Gemara over there, Rav Yana and Rav Nachman. Let's argue what Rav Shimon means. One is that Rav Shimon doesn't require you to place it in a keli. You put it in a kli shoris, the whole mincha, so fine, you can take it from there and offer it directly on the mizbeach. You don't need a kli shoris. The other explanation is, yeah, of course you need to put it in a kli shoris, but what he means is when it comes to burning it, you don't need to take it, you don't need to put it on from the mizbeach. From a kli shoris, you can just take it out of the kli shoris and then put it on the fire rather than having to like shake it out of there. So if we say it doesn't require kiddush koymetz at all, or if we say ulamanda amar according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok Nami deboi kiddush koymetz for Rav Shimon, who says that even Rav Shimon does require first to place in a kli shoris, but then he can take it out of that kli shoris and bring it to the mizbeach. Well then, And he holds that if it's done in a keli, then it's done in the left hand. So then yod the rava lamadi. Then what are we doing with Rava's Gzeira Shava on the word yad? What does it mean? He's saying that it's kosher with the left hand. Rashi explains, the Gemara is going to quote in a couple of lines, that Reb Shimon holds that if you want to bring it to the Mizbeach and a Keli, then you can hold the Keli in your left hand. Tosfos discusses that a little bit about that means that you can bring it to burn it from a kli shoreis as for when it's in the left hand. Where do we see anything about doing the kiddush koymes, putting it into the keli in the left hand? So Tosfos brings from Rashi in Zvachim that says that it's like the Kabbalah, and the Shimon had said that Kabbalah is partial with the left hand, therefore so would putting it in the keli. But what about the Zedah Shava of Yod Yod? If you're going to tell us that if Shimon says that you need it to actually tell us that Kmitza needs to be done with the right hand, because after all, then say Etzka, like we said before, we don't need that. We can learn it from something that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, had said. My time with Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon say that it's kosher even if you don't put it in a kli shoreis? Because the pasuk says, Kodesh Kodoshim hi kachatas v'cha asham. The mincha is Kodesh Kodoshim, like a chatas and like an asham. So why do you have to compare it to both a chatas and an asham? Means, if he wants to do the avodah with his hand, he just wants to take the koimetz and not put it into a kli shoreis, then fine. Then he dafka has to do it with his right hand like a chatas. He has to not only take the koimis with his right hand, but also bring it up to the mizbeach and throw it onto the fire, all with his right hand. But if he wants to do the avoda with a keli, he wants to just put it in a keli and then carry it to the mizbeach and offer it from there, ovdu b'smol, then Reb Shimon would say that that's fine with the left hand. Pa'osham, in that sense, a mincha would be like the osham, whereas we said before, Reb Shimon would say that Zrika is kosher with the left hand. Or a different explanation, Rashi mentions in Zvachin, is that it means the Asham Metzora, it says the left hand, as we talked about before. So therefore he would hold by Mincha also this precedent to use the left. So the question is, we can learn from that you need to do Kmitza with the right hand. So what is Reb Shimon doing with the Gzeira Shava of Yod Yod? And the answer is, the chiddush would be about the reason why Reb Shimon needs the Gzeirah Shava is specifically for the koimetz of a minchas chote, a mincha that's brought for a korban ode of a yorin. You might have thought, we learned a few days ago that Reb Shimon had said the reason why the Torah tells us not to put oil or levoina on a minchas chote is that his korban shouldn't be beautiful. Now he comments on Nami the smell to Skasha. So you would think the big deal, using the right hand is more of a nicer thing, but here you don't need that. You can even do the Kmitza with the left hand. The Mashmalam, therefore, he says the Zeta Shava of Yod is talking, tells us in general, fine, the posit about where Aaron took the koimets from the mincha in Parshas Shmini is not talking about mincha schoite, it's a regular mincha, but nevertheless we can still use it to learn for any kind of mincha where we wouldn't otherwise have a limud, namely for the mincha schoite, that it has to be done with the right hand. And that's where Reb Shimon learns it from, even though it's true, it doesn't say the word etzvah there. But again, Reb Shimon holds, when it comes to putting the koimetz in a keli, you have machlok to samaroyim, whether he requires it to be put in a keli at all, or whether he says you can put it in a keli, then take it out, and then offer it on the mizbeach from there. So now, the Mishnah had continued, komatz for all of Yodit Sur, if when he does the kmitza, he gets a pebble in the koimetz, or gargamela, or a grain of salt, or a grain of the Lavona that was sprinkled on the mincha, possible. In all those cases, the premise is possible because we said it's missing some of it. Rashi points out that you have to move the Lavona to the side. The Lavona is sprinkled on top of the mincha, but then what you do is you move all the Lavona to the side, and then you take the premise from just the flour and oil. So now, the Mishnah said, if any of those wind up in the premise, then it's no good. So the Gemara asks, Kolhani Lomali, why does the Mishnah need to tell us three different possibilities of foreign matter being in the koimetz? And the answer is Tzricha, we do need all of them. The Iton of Tzricha, if the Mishnah had mentioned only the pebble, you would say, you know why it's possible? Because a pebble is not something that's ever offered on the Mizbeach in the first place. Salt is after all offered on the Mizbeach, because every korban has to be salted. So you would argue emetus kashrim, and the fact that there's a grain of salt in the klametz to begin with is fine. So no, we eat ton of melach, but if the Mishnah had mentioned salt, you would say, you know why it's no good? Because it wasn't established together with the mincha in the first place. You bring the mincha, just flour, oil, and levona, and afterwards you take the klametz and you salt it. Because you salt only the klametz, and the rest of the mincha does not require melicha. Again, this is a parenthetical note that it seems to have been somebody's marginal note on his Gemara that got into the printed edition. Anyway, Aval Levoina, but when it comes to Levoina, the Ikra Bahad and Mincha Me'ikra, it was originally placed together with the Mincha, because the Mincha was brought to the Bais Mikdash with all those components. Ema Tetzkasha, maybe it would be fine if a grain of Levoina winds up inside the Klametz. Hamashulon, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, in all those three cases, it's going to be possible. Now, of course, the Mishnah could have just said the Levoina, and it would have included everything else. But if it said only Levoina, you're right. But once it mentions the pebble, then already it mentions the other two as well. It's one of those things often the Mishnah will do in a way that's called loizu afzu. Not only this, but even this, the greater chiddush. So therefore, it goes in ascending order of chiddushim. And that's what we have, that any foreign matter, even if it's something that was brought with the mincha to begin with, or even if something that was going to be brought with the kodesh later on, is still going to make it possible. And we'll continue tomorrow, that's December, at this point, about the kodesh can't be lacking anything, and continue with the actual procedure of how kmitza is done.